Good evening. It is January 22nd, 2019. This is the Duplin County Commissioners Meeting. Welcome. We have Commissioner Edwards via telephone conference. I believe he had a pedicure appointment that conflicted with the meeting tonight, so he's there in a massage chair. Can you hear us, Commissioner Edwards? So he can't hear us from here. It's just that speaker, right?
I think so.
He's probably engaged, so let's just let it be.
Not the volume turned up on it.
We will.
Mr. Edwards, can you hear Commissioner Thompson?
I could when he first asked me, but he went away.
Okay.
I hear you well.
Okay, thank you, sir.
I'll try to speak up.
Turn the phone on.
I'm hanging up on him.
Ms. Jessie Lassen is going to lead us in prayer, and then we'll follow that with the Pledge of Allegiance.
All wise and wonderful Heavenly Father, again, we are here on this evening to discuss and try to solve some of the problems of the county. We are now on the aftermath of Dr. King's life and what he left here, a pattern for us to follow, that we all can work together for the betterment of humanity. We thank you this evening, Father, that you have allowed us to return here without hurt, harm, or danger. And we also hope that this year that the attendance will be more than what has been in the past. We thank you, and we are all here to do the work that you have assigned for us to do. And we ask you for traveling mercy to our homes tonight, that we will arrive and our loved ones will be there to greet us. We ask all of this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, everyone had a chance to review the consent agenda. Do any board members have anything to add?
I do not.
No, I do not.
Okay. Mr. Brinson?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I do not.
Okay. Thank you. I entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
It's been moved and properly seconded that we approve the consent agenda. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
That motion carries. Thank you, Dex. Okay. First up, do we have any public comments for the evening?
Okay. No one has signed up for public comments,
thank
Mr.
you,
Chairman.
Brandon McMahon is first up with EMS.
Good evening.
Good evening.
As you all know, our Medic 3 got flooded out during Hurricane Florence. During that time period, we relocated to the Fountain Town Fire Department. They have since requested rent payment. We've been there for about since the hurricane, says 4 months. Total, or the amount is $440 a month. That's what we currently pay everybody else. So I'm requesting you guys approve
so
the
moved.
Lease agreement.
Second.
No budgetary effects.
It's been moved and properly seconded that we approve and authorize me to sign the County EMS Services Mutual EMS Station Housing Agreement with the Fountain Town Fire Department. Any questions or comments?
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Where is this Fountain Town Fire Department?
It is at the intersection of Highway 111 and Fountain Town Road, right there on the Duplin-Oslo County line.
Brandon, can you point to it on the map right behind you, sir?
Right there.
Okay. I'd like to have an address,
okay,
please.
1698 Fountain Town Road.
No, print it out to me.
Okay.
Please, sir.
I will.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So in my travels, I get opportunity to see what it looks like. Because when they come in and I've been away, I'm not familiar with a lot of landmarks. And I like to see them because there's been improvement. Roads have been paved and stuff.
Okay.
You know, not that I'm that historic, so but, you know, I'd like to just have a physical picture. So when these names come up to the board, right away, I won't have to be saying, wonder where that is, you know?
Okay. I'll have our fire marshal to print me out a list of every fire department and their physical address for you, okay?
Great. That goes on your report.
All right.
And Ms. Latson, under the lease agreement in Article 10, it has the address there under the fire chief's name.
Okay.
So.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. We're on a 3-second delay from the salon, it looks like. Next up, we have our assistant county manager, Mr. Futrell.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Mr. Chairman and Board, I have two items to present to you tonight. The first item on the agenda is a resolution supporting additional funding for the local Juvenile Crime Prevention Council, as we call the JCPC. And as many of you know, there is an effort, to raise the age, to increase the age for the juvenile offenders, and of course that's going to come with the need for more funding to the local JCPCs across the state, and so that would bring more revenue or more funding in for our local providers. And so a resolution has been prepared and submitted with your package to go along with a vote of support to support the General Assembly promoting of more funding for JCPCs. Would we request your approval of that tonight?
I will entertain a motion to that effect.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and properly seconded that we adopt a resolution supporting the JCPC allocation expansion. Any questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Thanks, Dex. That motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, yes, if I may, one item that I left off of the agenda request regarding JCPC is we're thankful to have Jamie Carr as our administrative support person for the JCPC now, and she needs to be appointed to replace Andrea Boney Jenkins as a county commissioner appointee on the JCPC. If it would please you to be able to do that tonight, it would save us a trip back up here later.
Okay. Does anybody want to entertain a motion to suspend the rules and add this to the agenda?
So moved.
Second. It's been moved and properly seconded that we suspend the rules and add this item from Mr. Futrell to the agenda. Any questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
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 Go ahead.
Thank you so much for doing that.
We haven't voted on it yet. We've suspended the rules to add that item to the agenda. So now, can you ask for that again, and we can address it?
Yes, sir. Thank
properly.
You, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
In our supports person for JCPC group is a very important position for JCPC. That position keeps the minutes, does all of the meeting notices, and all the administrative functions of the Juvenile Crime Prevention Council. We had a young lady, Andrea Boney Jenkins, who filled that position. She was from East Point, and she is no longer employed with East Point. And Jamie Carr graciously filled that position, and I had needed to get her to appointed to replace Ms. Jenkins, Andrea Boney Jenkins. And so, if it pleases the board, I'd love to get that done tonight.
I'll make a motion that we replace Andrea Jenkins with Ms. Jamie Carr, JCPC board.
Second.
It's been moved and properly seconded that we replace Andrea Jenkins with Jamie Carr on the JCPC board. Any questions or comments?
Yes, I have a question.
Go ahead, Ms. Flatson.
Is there going to be a board or a panel with her, a number of people, about this particular board for the juvenile? That's what we're voting on,
right?
That's
on the JCPC. I'm on that board.
How many people on there?
About 20.
There's 25 open positions or slots, and I have a roster here. If you would like to see that, we have, I think, 21 appointed, maybe 22.
Okay.
That's okay.
Right now, we can appoint about five or six more.
Yeah. Any other questions or comments?
No.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
The second item I have, and I'll be very brief about this because you probably have already seen the press release that was put into Duplin Times paper, and several other airports across the state have already been tooting the horn of the economic impact study that was done by North Carolina State University Institution of Transportation Research. This shows, I wanted to tell you this, that we made the cover page, and this is our airport. And we were selected out of all the 72 airports in the state to be on the cover of this document that goes all over. So we're thankful for that. And forgive me for my pride, but I'm thankful for that. If you'll see the back page, you'll see Duplin County, all the airports are listed there. On the right, on the left, you'll see the air carrier airports listed. But if you come down to DPL, Delta Papa Lima is our identifier for Duplin County. And you will see over to the right the almost $61 million economic impact. We're proud of that. These figures were done by NC State University. It includes everybody that works, that has anything to do, that touches anything that that has anything to do with the airport. But overall, the state is a $52 billion impact. That's B with a B with a B, and it's 307,000 jobs, 2.2 state and local tax revenue, 2.2 billion, and 12.6 billion in personal income derived from jobs that are supported. This is it goes out to all the legislators and in support of funding of aviation. I would tell you tonight that we have $27 million worth of aircraft based at Duplin County Airport that brings in about $190,000 worth of ad valorem tax. So if you figure, I think in the program here, it talks about, you know, for every $1 million, if you, it takes 10 $100,000 homes to bring in the same tax base as $1 million jet. So you take $27 million and do the math on that. So we're very proud, as you know, and I won't belabor it because you've seen it, but I give you something to take home tonight. But we're thankful for your support. As I've told you here before, the State Division of Aviation supports airports that have a good board of operations, a full-time management, and that they have a good county commissioner or local government support. And we have all three of those, and we're thankful for that. So I'll submit this to you tonight as information.
Thank you. Mr. Future, we're certainly proud of our airport and the job that you and your staff do out there. We appreciate that. Glad to see us on the cover.
Thank you very much.
Sure. Ms. Latson has a question for you, George, if you don't mind.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
I'm on the central. Is this going to be a step for commercial?
No, ma'am.
It's not?
No, ma'am.
That's not in the future anywhere behind a glass door?
Not that I'm aware of. We have a different business model. We're a general aviation airport, and you know, with Albert Ellis, a commercial service airport just right next door here in Wilmington. You know, we're a business class airport. 82% business traffic. The other 18% is itinerant traffic north to south, folks.
But if it should appear on the sunrise, yeah, will there be enough land to improve a runway?
Yes, ma'am. We're 6,000 feet and 100 feet wide. 6,000 feet, you know, we just extended widened the runway to 100 feet wide. We have the capacity to be able to take, we've had commuter airline operations in there before. You know, we carried 60-some eighth graders to Kitty Hawk on a Delta commuter back in 2003. We have hauled out commuters that haul cargo, fabric out of there now. So, I mean, our capacity is fine, but our airlines probably won't be coming to a general aviation airport. Just have a different business model. We could. We'll take them now. We take military and everything we get. So.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Future.
Thank y'all.
Next up, we have Robin. Is it Grotke or Grotke?
It's
Grotke. Grotke, our museum director at the Cowan Museum.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, I'm here today, this is the first time I've done this, is to ask for a deaccession of one of our artifacts. I don't know if you have that in your paper, but it's a dibble or tobacco peg. And it was accessioned into the education collection in 2018. And the education collection is used for hands-on props. So props and education items require less rigorous levels of review for deaccession. But I take my job seriously, and I take the fact that all objects in the museum collection are held in public trust, and I shouldn't be the one to make the decision. I'd like to have something formal.
Sure.
So the tobacco peg in question, we have at least five in the collection.
Five
at least. Yeah. There might be more.
I thought this said this was one or two donated.
Yeah. In the education collection, we have two, and it was donated by the same person.
And the donor is okay with?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not required to contact the donor and let them know what we plan on doing, but it's the courteous thing to do.
I'll make the motion to approve the deaccession request and to donate the dibble through the Kernersville Museum for their tobacco barn restoration project.
Mm-hmm.
It's been moved and properly seconded that we approve the deaccession request and donate the Dibble tobacco peg off the ID E2018.9.2 to the Kernersville Museum for their tobacco barn restoration project.
Okay, thank
Any
you.
Any questions or comments?
Yes.
Go ahead.
What is a Dibble?
A Dibble tobacco peg. It's I have a picture of it, actually. It's a small wooden artifact. And it's used for puncturing the ground, the dirt, and putting a seed in there. I have this paper for this sign, and in the back there's.
You don't have a picture?
Yes,
she does.
It's attached to that little pocket.
It is attached. Oh, right here. Okay.
Yeah. It's very simple. That one in particular was made of an axe head. The other one that the donor donated for the education collection was made of heart pine knot, and that was
a
very interesting one.
This code name for, I don't mean to laugh, but when I was a young girl, they just pointed it around. Okay. Somebody, do you know the age of this?
No, I asked the donor. That's one thing he wasn't sure about. Yeah.
I mean, that's, everything comes back full circle, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Gee, I have nightmares tonight.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And at the wood say aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. We want to pass that up to Mr. Brinson. You need to look that
No, thank you.
Okay, next on the agenda we have Mr. Terry Henderson with the U.S. Census Bureau Partnership. Yes, sir. Good evening. Thank you.
Thank you.
Text on. Can you put a picture from where he's at?
Yes, I can.
Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you for having me on behalf of the United States Census Bureau. My name is Terry Henderson. I'm a partnership specialist. And what we focus on is three E's. We're the marketing or promotion arm of the U.S. Census Bureau. We focus on these three E's, which is one is engagement, the other one is education, and the final one is encouragement. And what we try to do throughout our region, which covers seven states, I'm based here in North Carolina, is to raise awareness of the importance of the U.S. Census, what it means for the local community. I cover 49 counties from Wake all the way to the coast. Most of my counties are rural, and so a lot of times they don't get the information about the importance of the census. My counterparts briefed the governor on the importance of the census in May. He created a complete count committee, which I'm going to talk briefly about in just a few minutes, but understanding what the importance is of bringing economic dollars and also the political impact of the U.S. Census, of what it means to the local community. One of the factors is political impact. As you know, going back to your civics class, there's 435 seats in Congress. That number never changes. It just gets shifted around based upon the population and demographic growth. We here in North Carolina gained a seat in the 2010 election. We took one from Mississippi. Chances are we're going to gain another seat based upon the growth occurring around Wake County and also Mecklenburg County. But what does it mean right here in Duplin County? Well, it's big for economic reasons, because here in the state of North Carolina, Congress has estimated that each citizen is worth $1,600 for the count. Now, my wife believes I'm worth at least $2,000, but it's a $1,600 per person. It varies based upon the state and the demographic area of that particular location. So you can imagine here in Duplin County, if 100 citizens or 100 residents do not get counted, that's a big economic impact. So one of our strategies is to coordinate with the local officials like yourself, but also whoever the county executive is, which is the county manager who I met with earlier this month, to one, present a strategy, one of which is complete count committee, and allow you to endorse it, because you are a trusted voice in your community because the people elected you. I'm not a trusted voice here in Duplin County. I'm just a guy with a bow tie that came by to talk to you about the importance of the census. I live in Cumberland County, and I am a trusted voice there, serve as a local pastor, but also believe of the importance of the census, of what it means to the local community, for schools, for roads, for buses. It's really, really important. And so the thing is that how do we get the word out? We get the word out through trusted voices, and we would like you to be the face of the census here in your local community. Now, what is a complete count committee made of? It looks like your demographic. If you have educational group, such as Wake County has very large educational institutions, so we like to see different people from those educational institutions serve on the complete count committee to get the word out. Someone from your Department of Social Services should be on the complete count committee to make sure that we reach the undercount. And who are the undercounted people most often? It's the low-educated, low-wealth community. And the most undercounted demographic is age 0 to 4, because we sometimes forget about the babies sleeping in a crib. So one is getting the information out to, one, raise awareness, but also how do we go about doing the count? Well, the census seeks to hire 3 to 4 million people to count 340 million people in the United States. Some of those people will be hired right here from Duplin County. And because Duplin County, people know where the people are. And so that's why it's so very important that we act now to get a strategy. And your strategy is going to look different from the Wake County strategy or from the Moore County strategy. But we are here to assist you in developing a strategy to reach your particular demographic. And our goal is to count everybody once and only once in the right place. And I'll just pause if you have any questions of me. No questions? Let me point out one particular critical document in your folder. It's on the left, it's on the right side, and it's behind the George Washington document. It looks like this, but it's the participation rate.
Okay.
It's this one. Okay. At the top, you will find the North Carolina participation rate. That's the response rate of the 2010 census. 76% is where the state was in the 2010 census. In Duplin County, if you find Duplin County down here, you were at 72%. Now, the governor has already decided he wants the state to be at 82%. That's where his, that's the goal is. And he's already created a complete count committee. He's already energized his own cabinet. He's already sent people out in various counties throughout throughout the state to meet with board members like yourself and to meet with various community leaders to talk about the importance of the census, similar to what we're doing now.
You say with Duplin County 72%. What is that in dollar cents?
Well,
per person.
Well, that would have been that would also have been, well, it wouldn't have been exactly 1600 back then, 10 years ago. I don't want to say something wrong. I don't know what that dollar amount was in 2010. Now, I wouldn't know what that dollar amount would equate to for Duplin County and for 2010. No, ma'am, I would not know that.
And with the census, it brings in finances for exactly what?
For those particular things are mentioned in this particular study right here, the George Washington study.
Oh, okay.
And for the government, of course, $670 billion are allocated through Congress, federal dollars that are given to the states. And of course, the state legislature further allocates that to the various county based upon need, but also demographic need. So that's why it's so important to make sure we get an accurate count. And because most of my counties are rural, I also have a strategy, or we have a strategy of coordinating through the county extension offices to make sure that we count all the population, to include migrant workers, because that affects your base. If that particular demographic is living in your particular county, okay. It's very, very important.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
This committee, is that separate and apart from the people that are doing the census count right now in the county?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because right now, I know the people that are doing a census count right now that's in the county.
Well, what they may be doing is doing updating the address, but that's through your planning department, if in fact they're doing it. We also may have American Community Survey that may be going on, but the actual count has not yet started. That will begin next year, and the actual census day is April 1st, 2020. But what we really need to do now is begin to strategize and develop and put together a complete count committee, which again looks like a demographic of your, a cross-section of your particular demographic in your particular county. Those particular individuals are the trusted voices in your community. And again, it may look different here than in another location.
Okay.
Where I live, because we have a very heavy veteran population, I'm retired military myself, and so we have several military members that serve on that complete count committee. Because we also have a couple of universities, Fayetteville State University and Methodist, we have representatives from those particular universities on our complete count committee as well. So again, it really depends on what your community looks like as the people that you would want to serve on that. And some of the suggestions I've already made to your county manager.
And there is a basic program that the people that don't truly, how can I put this, being run out of time, the program that you plan for Duplin County and get together, it will be very sensitive to those that have fear of the government coming in, and later on there'll be tax up to the snip.
Yes, ma'am. Actually, that's a good question. One thing that we emphasize is the census is safe. The information, the data that we collect is safe. We cannot share it outside of the Census Bureau. Okay. Now, one of the 10 questions that is asked is, of course, is your name, but also your date of birth. We do not ask for a Social Security number. The date of birth is there to determine the age range of that particular demographic within that zip code, within that block, within that track of folks that live there.
Okay.
So again, that information is not shared with law enforcement, but one of the things that we always emphasize from the national level and then down to the state level is to make sure that all the people living in that state are aware that the census is safe and your information is not shared outside. We are supposed to package that data, which is data, not name connected to you to a particular address, because that's personal identifying data that we cannot release. It's protected by law. But the actual numbers are provided to the president according to the U.S. Constitution, Title I, Section 2 of the Constitution. It's provided to him no later than December 31st of 2020. And again, all this is mandated in the Constitution.
Mr. Henderson, if I may, I think it's important for you to point out to the board and those in attendance that it's not just every citizen that gets counted. It's every living soul in Duplin County on April 1st, 2020. So you don't have to be a citizen, because even non-citizens get representation in Congress.
That is correct, because in the Constitution, it doesn't say every citizen. Because when the framers put the Constitution together, everyone that was living in America at the time was considered to be a citizen. So they never wrote that in there. And so every person living in that particular county will or should expect to be counted, but they have to let themselves be counted, because it's self-identification. We cannot force ourselves on the population. And so as the example that I presented to the county manager some weeks ago was this: because we live in America and not a third world country, if somebody was to fall down and break their leg, and they could be a migrant worker or whatever the case may be, we're just not going to walk over them. We're not going to ignore that they're laying in the street. We're going to call the ambulance. We're going to 911 dispatcher. The police are going to come, and they're going to go to the hospital, which again impacts taxpayers. And so that's why it's so important to count everyone, especially if you have a population that is potentially a migrant population, like a lot of my counties are. Any other questions? The other point that I would just like to make is the wheel that you're holding there, with what I like to call the census wheel of fortune. If you look at the North Carolina, pointed toward the North Carolina, you will find at the bottom number there, it pertains to the broadband here in the state versus the broadband across America. Because of the rural counties oftentimes have trouble with broadband or broadband access. It's not strong in certain areas, in other areas it is. We would like for you to consider that information. The governor is going to be sending out information to the county governments, more than likely through the county manager, requesting information about your broadband strength. And then through that process, if it is a challenge, we would like for you to have some form of strategy of getting people to access the Census Bureau website, where they will actually fill out the census. This is the first time that the census is going to be primarily done online. You can request a paper questionnaire, but more than likely, 60%, we believe, are going to fill it out online. And perhaps 35 to 40% will not, but that's when more than likely what you most often are used to seeing is census workers going out knocking on doors. But the primary focus is to do the online registration.
Thank you very much for your information.
Okay. All right, thank you.
All right, next we have Mr. Brinson, our county manager.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I appear before you today to request the appointment of a member to the Eastern Carolina Workforce Development Board. It's a nonprofit organization based out of New Bern. It has 28 members representing 9 counties, and it is the administrative or physical agent for federal and state workforce development funds appropriated by the North Carolina Department of Commerce. One of the two representatives from Duplin County was Dr. Lawrence Rouse, representing the education category. And of course, as you are already aware, Dr. Rouse
has left James Sprunt and is now president of Pitt Community. The Workforce Development Board is requesting that this that the Board of Commissioners appoint Dr. Austin Abasahan, Superintendent of Duplin County Schools, to fulfill Dr. Rouse's term.
Yeah, I make a motion that we appoint Dr. Austin Abasahan, Superintendent of Duplin County Schools, to the Eastern Carolina Workforce Development Board.
Second.
It's been moved and properly. It's been moved and properly seconded that we appoint Dr. Abasahan to the East Carolina Workforce Development Board for a term of February 1, 2019 to June 30th, 2020. Any questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
That motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I have no further business for the board tonight other than a closed session for economic development matters pursuant to North Carolina General Statute 143-318.11A4.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion to that effect.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and properly seconded that we leave public session going closed for economic development. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Motion carries.